Hello, everyone. My name is Stephanie Ghostin Paul. I'm the host of the Take Nothing When I Die podcast. Take Nothing When I Die amplifies and celebrates the wisdom and genius of people who've managed multiple careers in one lifetime.
Party people. Oh my goodness. You have made it to the Take Nothing When I Die season two finale. I would say, can you believe it? But I can't even believe it. It's wild to me to think 2 years ago, I started a podcast and now I'm ending season two. I just like, it's so hard for me to believe that. I'm grateful that you've made it here. It's season two, episode 15. The second half of we had a mid-season finale up in April, and now we're ending in at the end of December. Who knows what will be up for 2022? I have no idea. That's just where I am right now. I am really excited to be taking some time off up until the new year, and so I am completely free from business obligations. There may be some things I dip into that relate to some money that I owe people. Got to do some of that work, but I'm completely done. And I am just really reflecting on the podcast for this season and the last. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited for what's to come. And I can't wait to hop into this solo episode. I want to talk about the fact that nothing lasts forever and talk about a little bit why I say that and where that came from. And then give some tips about breakups, you know, because this is probably the best, least messy breakup slash divorce I've ever been a part of. So y'all get to hear a little bit about that. But you know, I have to do the solo segments. This is the first time that I've had a solo episode for the second half of the season. Y'all, I had so many awesome, amazing, talented, wisdomful guests, and I want to make sure you receive the fullness of what they had to offer. And I also, just as I'm thinking about how the podcast will transition, I was tired, y'all. Doing a solo episode every other one for the first half of the season, while part of that time I was also pregnant, was a lot. And then bringing a person, a human, into this world and having to keep that up was unsustainable. So made a pivot, in which I will talk about that in a little bit. But solo episode segments, if you forgot them, because the last time you would have heard them was in the first half of the season, probably around March or April of earlier this year. There are four official ones. One is the how are you doing the for real version. I actually answer that. I talk about how I want to heal my timelines. I talk about what I'm spreading and how I'm becoming what future generations need. So we'll start with those. We'll talk a little bit about the podcast for this past year. And then I'm going to get into, you know, my three tips. You know, I always have something to leave you for you to think about, chew on, noodle with. And so we'll get to that. Oh, and before I forget, I cannot forget. I keep forgetting and I cannot forget. So I have to remind myself and remind y'all. January 8th is a very special day. It actually marks 2 years since I launched the podcast. It was on a Wednesday. I released three episodes and I had a launch party. So if you listen to anything in the first season, you would know that was probably a mistake to do all those things in one day. I learned a lot from that, but that's when Take Nothing When I Die was officially launched, January 8th, 2 years ago. So I'm going to be having a celebration of Take Nothing When I Die becoming a toddler, like official toddler status, y'all. We're in the terrible twos and we're taking the world by storm. But join us on January 8th as we celebrate virtually. We'd love to see your face in the place. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have surprises. We're going to have former guests. We're going to have games. We're going to have reveals. We're going to have rebirths. We're going to have sunset. We're going to do all the things. It'll be 12 to 2 Central Time, U.S. Central Time. So for all the folks that are abroad globally, figure out how to get on Central Time. And if it's a decent hour, come join us on our virtual platform. If you want more information, you want to get tickets, you want to donate, even if you can't make it, it's all good. Go to bit.ly, you know, it's a bit.ly slash T TNWID, that's all caps, turns, capitalize the T, two, the number two, and it's case sensitive. So capital TNWID, capital T, turns, and then the number two, and you'll get a ticket. I look forward to seeing you there. Okay, so let me get to the first question of the segment. It is, how are you doing the for real version? And you know what, for real, y'all, I feel really good. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I'm not as tired as usual, which I'm learning is a thing for new parents. But I'm just feeling a lot of ease and rest and relief from taking a break from work. I think sometimes and at some points when I've taken breaks, I feel lots of guilt, or I feel like hurried or frantic because I'm like scrambling to the last second. And I didn't do that this year. I planned ahead. I planned better. I planned well. I thought about how I wanted to feel on my last day. And I set that plan in motion and it worked. And so today I'm really feeling the impacts of like not having any client facing obligations, not having to solve other people's problems, not talking to my colleagues about work. I'm just checking in about family, about love, about the new year, about wondrous things. I'm feeling lots of ease and rest from that. So that's how I'm doing for real. How am I healing my timelines? This is the second solo segment. And you know, y'all, I've really been sitting in this place of asking for not just what I need, but also what I want. I think it's an important distinction. I think for recovering people pleasers, perfectionists, or even folks just like who don't want to ask for help, we are taught that like you ask for something when you need it. And so for folks who have trouble asking, like one step is just to ask. And the second step is like ask for what you need. And I think there's something about when I have to have something, when I'm in dire need or crisis, that motivates me more to make that ask. But I'm actually sitting in a space of like, how do I ask for, how do I request, how do I require something that I just need because I want to, because I like it, because it feels good, because I prefer it, not because I have to or it needs to be, but because I want to. And it feels like a different level of freedom. It feels like tapping into centering myself and my desires and what I want. And it just feels different. And that feels like it's healing my timeline. Being able to be seen as a full human who has needs, yes, of course, but who just also has wants. And they may seem silly or frivolous or ridiculous to other people, but they matter to me, which is why I'm asking. Which is why I'm requiring them, which is why I'm stepping into them. It's hard work, y'all. All right, what are you spreading? I'm gonna come back to this in my tips, but I do, at the end of this year, I really feel like I'm spreading some hope. And now I have to say this caveat, like I'm not talking about the fake positive, like everything's great Pollyanna type of facade. But I think, especially in the work that I'm up to, especially with organizations, especially with Black folks who are doing this work, hope can be seen as an abstraction. Like it's an abstract thing. We are fighting for, pushing for, challenging, dismantling in hopes that we get to some utopia world that we'll never experience. And I've like worked with people who believe that. I sometimes fall into that where I'm like, wait, why am I even doing this? Like, I'm not going to see the fruits of my labor. And I'm working towards a world I've never seen, but it's like a fake world. And I think something shifted for me this year in thinking about like, how do I not treat this as an abstraction, but as a reality? And like, how do I, this came with my TEDx talk, like, how do I be, create, practice the future that I want to see? Like, I can do it right now. I can act as if. So there's a huge shift for me in my work around moving towards an end goal that feels nebulous, uncertain, like, and maybe not actually even possible, versus setting up everything that I'm doing to align with this goal, which makes it that much more real. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, ignore the jibber jabber. But I feel like what I'm spreading is like hope as a reality rather than an abstraction. And I can look back this year. I was just talking with a colleague. We were going over some wins from this year, and we were talking like, yeah, we set this up. I was like, yeah, when we paused intentionally, when we challenged this thing here, when we coached these folks but not these folks, when we dug deeper here and set up these calls here, like all the things that we were doing were lining us up for this outcome that we were hoping for, that we're close to getting, but didn't feel very clear in the beginning. I think there was ways that we could have set that up and been like, oh yeah, there's this outcome, we would love to get there, but like, we're gonna play with just the present. And there's something about inviting the future to the present that feels like I'm spreading that. Okay, last solo segment. How am I becoming what future generations need? This is tough, y'all. It's tough because I have a little one who's looking at me. So I have a physical reminder on a day-to-day basis, like, must that work you up to, Stephanie? And, you know, I think that the work that I was up to this year, the work that I've been up to in this last quarter, the work that I continue to foresee myself doing really relies on metrics that might never show up on paper. And this kind of goes with the hope as an abstraction thing. Like when I think about who would be happy with the work that I'm doing, it's an unlikely metric that would show up in my business, right? Like I turned down this gig so I could spend more time with my kid. How do you like have that show up in data, in quantifiable data? I don't really know. When I think about harmful like white male bosses leaving, like how do you promote that is a win for you? When I have a training and like white folks are embarrassed or ashamed or like frazzled, pissed, but folks of color are like, thank you for saying that, Stephanie. Like, how do you capture that stuff? And I think when I think about, no, I think, go back. When I think about what future generations need, some of it is like clearing the path. Some of it is like getting the harmful folks out of the way. Some of it is about who is centered, who is satisfied. Some of it is about like developing momentum to like push the tide forward. And I feel like that's been a lot of my work this year. Instead of focusing on a resistor or resistance, it's been like, how do we move with where the energy is? How do we listen to who's ready and take that at face value? How do we show up for people who need us the most? And I feel like that is clearing the path for future leaders, for future generations to do the stuff that they need to do with less resistance and less barriers, whether those barriers are structural, they're institutional, or maybe even individual. Like, get these people out the way. I feel like I've been doing a lot of clearing. So yeah, it's been quite a year. I want to get into the meat of the solo episode. After doing these segments, I'm just so excited to talk about the meat of this podcast. Y'all, like, I just couldn't imagine that I would be here after starting this 2 years ago. Like, y'all know, if you listen to episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like, I've been on a journey. Take Nothing When I Die has shifted, it's changed, it's morphed. Hopefully you believe it's gotten better. I think it has. Like, I think the quality of sound, guests, storytelling, asking questions has gotten better. And it really just stemmed from me thinking about what is my work and how do I do it? How do I do it out loud? How might it help me help other people? Even if it's just one other person, how do I work through some of my stuff? Y'all know I said, I don't even like hearing my voice half the time. Like, how do I work through that to start a podcast that now in, what, 2 seasons has 46 episodes? Like, how did that happen? So I have lots of people to thank, lots of people to thank. I have to thank every single guest. And in the season finale for season 1, I thanked everyone by name, and I want to do that for this season as well. So I have to thank Michaela Harrison, Yvette Henry, Maxime Paul and Sekou Lelo. I want to thank Veronica Agar, Ashley Nelson, Imani Maxbury, Davion Zaire, Tara Pringle Jefferson, and Jamie Njai, and myself for being guests on this podcast. Thank you so much. Each of you brought infinite wisdom from different angles, from different perspectives, and you have touched so many lives. I cannot tell you the amount of comments, DMs, like texts that I get and voice notes. I get all the things about like, oh my God, this is the one. Oh my God, Stephanie, I'm crying. I needed to hear this right then and there. And I just want y'all to know that like people are listening. People are taking what you say to heart. People are re-listening. Like there's some episodes that people listen to 8, 10, 20 times. Some of these episodes, people flag them as like, I need to come back to this every month, or when I need motivation, or when I'm feeling down. So I just want you to know like the impact of your work and also how important it was to me for you to share yourself and your story. So thank you, thank you, thank you, guests. I also have to thank the listeners, you who are listening right now in your headphones, in your car, in your house, as you walk, as you do work, whatever you're doing. Thank you for being part of this audience. This podcast has reached 70 plus countries and like still blowing my mind. Like if I could show you my fingers and my hands and my face right now, I'm like, how? And again, I'm not trying to be like fake humble. I just, it's so hard for me to understand the depth of the reach and the depth of the impact. Knowing that I'm impacted so much when I talk to these folks, and like knowing people across the globe are feeling that as well. It's just incredible for me to think about. We also, this season, we've had over 10,000 plays. Like it's a lot, y'all. And I feel like I'm getting really emotional. I didn't think I was going to. It's been such a year with many pandemics here in the United States and abroad, with family shifts and changes. I had a whole entire human move. Like so much has happened, and yet this has been something that I've continued to pour into and see impact from. This season, we continued to make history too. Like we had a crossover episode, which had never happened before. I released a never before heard TEDx talk in the first episode, and someone interviewed me, which again, to be in season two and to be with something so new, with a formula, a tried and true formula, but to still have ways of, to still have innovative ways to present this content means everything to me. So many firsts. Okay. I do want to get to this like nothing lasts forever piece. And I want to explain a little bit because originally I did not actually believe that. I think it's easier for us to hear that nothing lasts forever when we think about bad things, right? Like when we're in bad situations, bad relationships, bad workplace, toxic environments, we're like, nothing lasts forever. Like I got to get out of here. But it's hard to really hear that when it's something that's good, when it's something that feels good, when it's something that we enjoy, that we love, that we like, right? And I first started saying this when my little one was first born. I mean, the first weeks were tough, like lots of crying, lots of not sleeping, lots of figuring things out for the first time, which I'm still doing, by the way. But I would sing this song to her, Nothing Lasts Forever. It won't always be like this. And I sang it in a very terrible singing voice, which I will not replicate on air for y'all, but I would sing it as I bounced her, as I rocked her, as I kissed her, as I soothed her. And it mainly was to describe and to address when she was distressed and tired and crying. But as I sat with her and continued to try to be present as she was learning and getting curious and getting to all the things, I also realized like it was a call for me to be really present, because even that, the good stuff, when she's laughing and giggling hysterically, when she's getting into everything, when I'm like thinking that I couldn't love her anymore, I also know this won't last forever as well, which feels harder to accept. And I just want to talk a little bit about that, because I think as we think about breaking up or stopping something or unattaching ourselves from someone or something or a situation, like I am this podcast. Y'all know this is our last episode for a while. I actually don't even have any data to tell you when it's going to be back up, because I don't know. I just know we're at the end of season two, and season three will pick up at some point in the future, maybe, or not at all. But as I was thinking about unattaching myself from the podcast while Take Nothing When I Die remains strong as a concept, I was like, I want to talk to people about how we can step away from things or people in a intentional manner, right? Like, how could this be the best breakup ever? Or the best divorce that I've ever had, which it would be the only one. But I just want to talk a little bit about what is coming up for me as I think about stepping away from the podcast, in hopes that it will help you, whether you are in the midst of a breakup, whether you are contemplating a breakup, or maybe you're post-breakup. Maybe you're like, you did the thing, ready, did it, got it out of the way, but now you're like, now what? So my first piece of advice, the first thing that's coming up for me around this is like, breaking up is a construct, like everything else, right? You've heard me say it, all the rules are fake. We've met folks who've only had very nasty breakups, right? We all have those friends where it's like traumatic every single time. We've also had friends who they're like friends with all their exes, right? Like they still hang out and they call each other and they're respectful, and it's not like they're still messing around, they just have a different relationship with their exes. And it is because breaking up is what we make it. Yes, people have personalities and things happen in relationships and situations, but we can shift what it means to break up. Breaking up doesn't automatically have to mean it's bad or something bad happened or there's ill will or we hate it or we are like dejecting this thing 100,000 yards from us. We could celebrate the good times. We could focus on the lessons that we've learned. And really, it's about making it what you want. I have some friends who have been together for a very long time, or had been, and now they're doing conscious uncoupling, which I didn't even know was a thing. But as I talked to them more, and as I looked it up, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really great. It's like, how do I restore myself as I acknowledge and honor what we had here? And what I realized and what I heard from them is like, it's not about like, you're a terrible person, this is why we're not going to be together. It's not like something bad happened, so we shouldn't be together. And in a lot of cases, it's like everything is good. It looks good. It feels good. It's okay. But those folks in those situations realize it may be good, but it's not great. It may be okay, but it could be fantastic. There's a way that we're settling or not fully living into our purpose or not going full throttle, full in with the thing. And that is a reason to step away too, right? And it's hard. I understand like wishing for something more, better, bigger is also a construct, right? It's how we're conditioned. We want bigger, faster, stronger, all the things. And this is not about wishing for something that doesn't exist. It is about knowing in your heart of hearts that this thing is fine, it's okay, it's good, but it could be something else. You may not know what that something else is. You may not have a solution, another person, another situation, another gig, another thing. But I would advise you that if you keep coming up against the edges of what you want in this thing, relationship, situation, gig, if you keep being frustrated with no solution in sight, if you keep noticing that your body wants to move somewhere else, like y'all know, we know. And if we slow down, if we sit down, if we actually listen, we might get somewhere else, right? Like our body is telling us, no, step away. Our body is saying, I don't like this. Our body is saying, I'm not fulfilled. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to be here. And yet we stay, something happens. And yeah, sometimes we can ignore, we can avoid, but your body is not going to lie. So if you can listen, I think it is a starting point for you to make the shifts that need to happen. Ashley Nelson talked about this in her episode. part of closing down know full well was knowing full well, like to be in alignment with the brand that she was building. She had to take stock of, like, is this bringing me pleasure? Why am I doing this? What is the impact I'm having? And is it aligned with what I set out to do? And yeah, it looked great. It was helping people. There was nothing wrong per se, but it wasn't what she felt like she should be doing. So if that is where you are, I encourage you to pause. I encourage you to listen. And I encourage you to think about what it would mean to pivot and change, knowing that whatever the breakup, stepping away, uncoupling, unattaching that will have to happen, it is what you make it. It doesn't have to be terrible. In fact, I'm breaking up with the Take Nothing When I Die podcast in the most positive way that I possibly could. Thought number two is about showing up. And this feels really important. It feels like super messy, and it feels so important. For this podcast, y'all know I was not perfect about being consistent, but I kept showing up. And showing up allowed me to make choices. Sometimes y'all got this podcast bi-weekly. That's been lately. I have an amazing editing team. Sometimes y'all were getting podcasts like just the last 2 weeks of the month. Totally arbitrary. I made that up. Sometimes it was once a month. Sometimes I was on break. Sometimes the solo episode was every other one. Sometimes, like this half of the season, it was guest heavy. So I just had to adjust how I was showing up with how I was feeling, but I kept showing up. I kept being consistently inconsistent, which allowed me to make choices when I did show up, right? I kept choosing in because I could shift the context in which I was doing the thing. So when I was too tired to do solo episodes every other one, that's why the second half of the season is guest heavy. When I couldn't do a bi-weekly episode, I did it the last 2 weeks of the month because that worked for me. And now I'm at a point where, based on what I need, based on my energy, based on my outputs, where I want to have impact, I'm showing up to Take Nothing When I Die, but I'm actually going to pivot because the choice that I'm making is to not stay with this medium. I know there's something different, something better, something more easeful. And because I've been showing up consistently with Take Nothing When I Die, I can move, shift, pivot in a way that's in alignment with where I am, the context that I have. I just want to suggest that if you are waiting to define what that other thing is, whether it's a new situation, whether it's defining the thing that you're in. I know a lot of us, if we're talking about relationships, we need to know, what are we? Which I get it. I like that question. What are we? Like, are we in a situationship? Are we exclusive? Are we entertaining other options? I get it. You want some definition. But when you continue to show up every single day and choosing in, that is part of your relationship to that thing. With me and my partner, we show up every day and we choose each other. And there may be times where it's hard to do that. There may be a day when we don't do that. And we can talk about that based on the context of where we are. But if we have to wait to define the thing in order to show up for it, we will be sorely mistaken. We will miss something. We will miss out on what can happen when we do show up and when we are consistent. And so I'm encouraging you to not have to have an answer. Keep showing up, keep making a conscious choice, keep listening, and something will emerge. I had another situation where this came up this year for me with a friend situation where we're in the process of a very long friend breakup. It's probably been going on for a couple of years now. And I was really obsessed with trying to figure out, like, what are we? Like, are we best friends anymore? Are we breaking up? Do I have requests? Like, do you need to do something different? Do I need it? Like, I was really obsessed with, like, getting clear about defining what I needed to say and how we needed to relate to each other, which, again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What that got in the way of was actually being in that relationship. And when I could just be, I could say, you know what? I actually don't even know what to call this. But I want you to know, this doesn't feel good. I actually don't know what my requests are for this relationship, but I just know I need some space right now. So there were ways that I was showing up for myself and for that relationship, even when I didn't know what it was supposed to be. And instead of waiting until I had the answer, which would have cost time and probably even more of the relationship, I just named where I was. I told the truth. Here's what I need today. That might change tomorrow. It might change next week. Instead of requiring a definition and then suffering because you don't know, how do you let it be undefined but keep showing up, keep being consistently inconsistent? I realize as I say all this, this is probably the opposite of all the dating advice that you've heard. So I just want to like name that. If the shoe fits, please wear it. Chew the meat, spit out the bones. Lastly, I just want to name that when we are transitioning, whether it's away from, against, apart from someone, something, a gig, situation, as you make that transition, think about what it would take to make yourself available, to make room, to make space for what is to come. And this for me is really is digging deep into like what it means to manifest, what it means to carve out, what it means to like bring things into your life as things exit, transition, move over to another space. The original thinking that I had behind this, I heard from a former place I used to work at. I was talking about The Secret. And there's this idea that like manifesting is all about like naming something, like I have an intention and then I get it. So like I name it, I get it. And like there's a straight shot. I want $1 million at the end of the year and I'm going to get it. I'll just have to say it and it will come. I know this happens in some faith traditions too. Like I'll just pray. Like I just have to pray and God will take care of me. I have a lot of faith in the universe, in God, and all the in my ancestors, in myself. And even I know that something has to happen between that intention, that prayer, that request, that putting it out in the universe, and actually you getting it. I'm not saying you have to bend over backwards and like lie, cheat, steal, beg. Like, it's not even that. It's like, I have to move in the direction of my intention so that it can happen. Yes, the universe, God, goddess, ancestors will put things in your path, and you have to do stuff. It sounds very obvious, but I think it is elusive for some of us. Our intentions are interacting with other people's intentions. Our intentions can become stale. Like if I say that I want something, but all my actions go against that thing, how could I possibly have it? And I feel like this shows up in business, in relationship, in life, where we say we want something. We say we want to change. We say we want a new direction. We say we want a new path, a new person or relationship. And yet our actions don't follow that intention. I talked about that a little bit earlier when I talked about hope. Like we all are hoping for a certain outcome. For me, that's a world where folks can embody being free, whole, and enough. If that was an abstraction, I would set the goal and then move about my life, not moving in that direction. This year, I felt so much more clearly than others that that wasn't the case, that all of my actions, my beliefs, my behaviors, the decisions, the calls, the contracts, everything was moving in the direction of that outcome, that intention that I hold. And I saw more of that intention come true because of the way that I was setting things up, right? And it's the same with the podcast. I think like I had an inkling as to what I want to do, why I want to do it. And many people can have that intention. The difference is like who shows up, who makes room, who listens, who makes space to actually align behaviors, beliefs, their life with the thing that they're trying to get to. And I would say that too many times we just don't make the room. And it could be spiritual, emotional, physical. It's reminded me of a matchmaking client when I was, you know, I was a matchmaker. And she was like, I am ready for a partner. Like, I'm ready to be a wife and a mother and all this stuff. We're like, great. We did this 360 review and like asked her about how she lives and what she does on a day-to-day basis. And not only was her schedule packed, like when I say packed, I mean packed, like from the time she woke up to the time she went to sleep, but so was her house. But she was talking about someone moving in with her, and we were like, where are they gonna stay? There's no room in this closet. There's no room in this dresser. Like, there's no room in this house for someone else. Your schedule, when would you possibly date? While you sleeping? Right? So she had to make some room. And that physical room she had to make, that calendar room she had to make, was also followed by an emotional space she had to make in order to receive someone into her life. So as you think about transition, breaking up, moving, unattaching, uncoupling, it's a clear no to that person, thing, gig, situation. But that also means you're saying yes to something else. And to that thing you are saying yes to, that new thing, that new direction, that new intention, are you making space? Are you ready and able to receive what it would take to settle into that new thing? So if you have room, great. If you don't, make the room, take the time, create the space so you can get whatever is next. For me, with the podcast, this looked like shifting my words and my beliefs. When I knew I was transitioning with the podcast, I was saying to people, you know, I'm going to end the podcast at the end of the year, and I want to go in a new direction. I don't know what it is, but it'll come to me, which is true. Very vague, but true. And then I was like, yeah. And then I'm trying to, a friend of mine planted a seed, friend being Laura Knights, who was on season one of the podcast. Laura Knights planted this seed that I could do a documentary, and that's really cool. So I'm trying to do a documentary. I want to be clear, like, I don't want y'all to think that I'm being nitpicky, but like, trying to is different than doing. Trying to is not making room, not making space. Trying to is waiting to define something before you have it. Trying to is sitting in a construct of like, this is what it looks like to do X, Y, Z. When I removed that word trying from my vocabulary, many things started to happen. One, my beliefs shifted. From I'm trying to make a documentary. I am making a documentary. Take Nothing When I Die will be a documentary. It's a very different statement than I'm trying to make a Take Nothing When I Die documentary. When I stopped saying trying to, other people, resources, and ideas came into my orbit. They were there all along. I have friends, colleagues who are in the film production, in the documentary, in the oral history, in the Black folks' history space, right at my fingertips, right? Like waiting for me. I didn't have to make no new friends. I didn't have to like go out, talk to a stranger. I literally right now have 5 people ready to help me make this happen who are connected to different aspects of what I would want, need in a documentary. 5. But when I was trying to, couldn't see it, didn't have room, didn't have space, wasn't clear what I was doing, right? So again, I just want to, it's a small shift, but when I started to make room, to make space, like, oh, I'm taking the podcast off my calendar. I'm doing a 3-day work week. I'm leaving some time and space creatively and also physically to dedicate to Take Nothing When I Die being a documentary. Things started to shift, and I believe they will continue to shift. And as I say this out loud, I know it's creating ripples right now so that my intention will come even closer to that outcome that I want. So I said a lot of things, and sometimes I don't even realize it, but you know what? I'll be saying things. And I knew I'll listen back to this episode, and some of it might sound rambled or confusing, but I hope that something I said here will bless you. And hopefully there's something you can take away, whatever stage of transition you're looking at. If you're looking to break up or facing a breakup, you don't know what it's going to look like, or you don't know if you should, hopefully there's something here for you. If you're in the middle and you're like, how is this possible? How can I get through this? Hope there's something here for you. If you are at the end, you've done it, signed the papers, like ready to step into the new thing, I hope there's something here for you. Last but not least, I have to plug again the January 8th gathering, because as I talk about what is something new, something different, something I'm moving toward, there is something that is defined that I'll be revealing in the January 8th gathering. Can't tell y'all till that date, and you want to be virtually live so you can be all the way a part of it. It'll be super fun. It'll be new, it'll be different, and it'll be a way for you to interact with Team of the Mighty Eye, even while the documentary is pending, as I claim it. So mark your calendars, get your ticket, tell a friend or two. And like I said, even if you can't make it, you can donate to the cost of keeping up Take Nothing When I Die, which will continue in another form, many other forms, including one of them being a documentary moving forward. Season 3, don't know when it'll happen, but you'll know when it does. So stay in contact, continue to follow us on social media. And this is, for the last time, me signing off.
All right. So if you like the show, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss anything. When you subscribe on your platform of choice, as soon as an episode uploads, it will be downloaded to your device. So make sure you like, favorite, subscribe. And if you have a few minutes, please leave a review. Apple Podcasts makes it really easy to do so. You can also find us on social media. We are on Twitter at TNWID and also on Instagram at Take Nothing When I Die, all spelled out. If you want to build community with us in a different way, check out patreon.com/TNWID. Over on Patreon, we've got videos of the podcast if you like visuals, more tidbits and takeaways from me, and even better, a community of living ancestors. These folks are loyal fans and supporters of the podcast. They are able to ask questions of me, and there's some exclusive content that you will literally not see anywhere else on the internet from me. So head on over to Patreon to join that community. If you are feeling generous, and if you got it like that, and you want to give some coin, you can always do so through a one-time donation, which supports the production of this podcast, as well as my coaching and consulting work. You can find me on PayPal at paypal.com/StephanieGhostin, just my name. On Venmo, it's Stephanie-Ghostin, and you'll see a picture of me. And on Cash App, it's the $ SLGHOSTO, SL Ghosto. Also, don't forget to check out the show notes page. StephanieGhostin.com/TNWID is where I house all of the episodes as well as the show notes. It's there you'll find all the links that I've mentioned, both to social media, to the Patreon page, to the donation links, as well as more information about our guests and all the resources mentioned during the show. So if you missed something, or you're like, what was the spelling of that one thing that so-and-so named, or you just want to see some great artwork, memes, and doodles, go on over to my site, StephanieGhostin.com/TNWID. This is my time, y'all. I have to sign off. Again, this is your host, Stephanie Ghostin Paul. I'm bringing you the Take Nothing When I Die podcast, and I'm leaving you with your reminder that you are a living ancestor. Take care and hope to talk soon.